This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here with Bon Bon Vasuto. But I heard you're going to leave me for 6 weeks.
Yeah, well, you know, I got baseball.
I understand. Baseball's more important. That's okay. You know, your children, baseball, all that kind of good stuff.
Relationships, Drew. Yep. We're all about relationships.
We're all about relationships. Well, actually, that's a great lead-in. You're the coach of the baseball team, mm-hmm. You know. I just have one quick thing to talk about, and that is last Tuesday, my father passed away, mm-hmm. And I just wanted to give a tribute to him. He lived to be 90 years of age, mm-hmm. And, you know, he was the coach of the baseball team for my brother Jim when he turned 8. And then 2 years later, my brother Bill turned 8, and he was his coach. And then 2 years later, I turned 8, and he was our coach, you know. And that's the kind of father he was. He was always at dinner every night, and he encouraged each of us to go to college. Like, he was the first of the Tignanelli family ever to go to college.
Yeah.
And ultimately became a lawyer. Everything he laid his hands on, he became the president of, or the highest position he could in everything he did in life. And I honestly mean that.
Yeah.
There is nothing he ever did that he didn't rise to the top of leadership in. And, you know, it's always sad to lose a parent, but you know that you're going to die. And if you're going to die, you want to live life well. And he did. He lived to be 90 years old. He was 4 children that are extremely successful, 8 grandchildren that are extremely successful. He left behind 2 great-grandchildren, 2 on the way, twins, daughters coming. And, you know, what more can you ask for?
Yep.
As sad as it is, that's a life worth celebrating.
Yeah, so left a great legacy.
He did. Andrew Tignanelli passed away April 26th, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we're here with a guest tonight.
Yes,
and
we are.
Talking about college planning. And my father taught me some lessons about college planning, and we're going to get into those later. But who's our guest tonight, Bon Bon?
Yeah, well, we've got Stuart Ritter with us from T. Rowe Price, and he's a vice president and a senior planner, and he's sometimes the face and the voice and some videos out there on T. Rowe's site. And he's a great resource, and he's been willing to come in and in studio with us to talk about college planning. So, Stuart, welcome.
Thank you for having me here.
You know, that's not uncommon that a lot of the mutual fund companies are adding these value-add services of people like yourself who are just, you don't make any quote-unquote money for the firm. Your job is merely to help educate people, and T. Rowe sees that as a benefit. Can you just give us a little reason as to why the mutual fund groups see that as a benefit?
Well, at least at T. Rowe Price, education has
now
been...
Now stick your voice into your microphone
okay,
when you talk.
Go.
There you
hey,
go, my friend.
How about that?
Yeah.
T. Rowe Price has had a core of education for a very long time, helping people understand how to achieve their financial goals, helping parents talk to kids about money, and generally getting people more confident in the kinds of things they're trying to achieve when it comes to their financial goals. And part of that commitment is the opportunity I have to come on the show tonight and share what I know about college and hopefully help some parents understand what they might do to feel more confident about achieving that particular financial goal and what the options are that are out there to help them do so.
So let's just start with the concept of how expensive is college? And, you know, can't you get a whole bunch of money, you know, to help your kids go to college, you know, freebies and all that kind of stuff?
College can be very expensive. Some people do get a bunch of money. Let's talk about what happens for most people. The reality is that there are lots of colleges out there, and you have a lot of choices at a lot of different price points as to what college might be available for your child. One of the things I run into is a lot of parents who think, okay, I've locked in on this one college, and when anyone talks about maybe doing something else, well, are you saying my child shouldn't go to school? And my point is there are a wide variety of schools that are available. So for a starter, yes, college is expensive. There are also lots of choices when it comes to that. The other side of that coin is, well, it doesn't matter how expensive it is, my child will get a scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
And I have 3 young kids of my own. Of course, like every parent, I know my children are going to get the academic, musical, athletic, dance scholarship that's going to be available for all 3 of them. The reality is, and I looked at some Department of Education data, the reality is that for a lot of the folks that are listening tonight, we will pay 90% of the sticker price of the average public school. So the idea that somehow you're going to get a whole bunch of free money, scholarships and grants, that's going to cover 50%, 60%, 80% of the cost, just isn't the case on average. Free money will cover 10% of the average cost of an average public school. And as a parent and a child, that means you have to make sure you're available to come up with the other 90%. So lots of price points to choose from. And it's important to go in with some realism of how much of that you'll have to cover. And for a lot of people, it's going to be 90% of that sticker price if we're talking public school.
Yeah, so college can be extremely expensive. And the thing that I always say, Stuart, is this. Is college can be ridiculously expensive or incredibly affordable. And the difference is who chooses which college you're going to go to. Mm. Does the child unlimited get to choose wherever they go to college? It's ridiculously expensive. Or does the parent say, this is the parameter of what you can do, and college can be incredibly affordable? I've seen many a situation where a parent had a child offered to go to a very good school for $20,000 total cost, and yet the child said, no, I want to go to Duke, or I want to go to William & Mary or whatever. I don't want to go to Notre Dame, which is offering me it for $20,000. I want to go there, and it's $60,000 or $55,000. The parent says, okay, little Johnny, okay, little Joni, you know, wherever you want to go, we'll just figure out how to pay for it, but we want you to be happy. But Eddie, we're going to let you answer that when we come back, but right now I got to show Anita that I'm on top of my game tonight, Anita. There you go. We're going to traffic, and we're going to be right back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Do you have a financial planner? Have you ever thought of hiring one, or just need a second opinion? The satisfaction guaranteed service of the financial physical is designed with you in mind. Many listeners, just like you, come to me, Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, looking for a firm that is fee-only and can offer comprehensive financial planning. The Financial Consulate has not grown by selling insurance, annuities, and bank products. Instead, we pride ourselves on the wealth of knowledge we can provide to you and your family. Learn more about the Financial Consulate and the services that we can provide at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com. Or call to schedule a no-obligation introductory meeting at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
There you go, Anita. You know, my father's life wasn't worth, you know, getting sorrowful about. It's worth celebrating, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're here with Stuart Ritter from T. Rowe Price, and you're here to educate us some more on education planning, college planning. So what do you have to say to little Johnny and little Joni to get to go anywhere they want to?
Here's what I have to say to the parents. Here's how I want you to approach that conversation. Approach it the same way you would approach a conversation about a car. Think about the value you're getting for the dollar. If there's one car that's $20,000 and Johnny says, oh, but I want the $50,000 car, one of the things you should be asking yourself is the $50,000 car 2.5 times better than the $20,000 car? What are we really getting into here? A car is about transportation. It's about getting from point A to point B. And, yeah, there are nicer cars and there are less nice cars. When it comes to college and your child getting an education, potentially there are certainly better schools and less better schools. The question you face is the additional money worth what else you might be getting? So even if school A is better than school B, and I see this with a lot of parents, their approach often is, even if it's just a little bit better, doesn't matter what the cost is. So we'll pay 2.5 times as much for a little bit better school. And it's almost a badge of honor sometimes that, well, the kind of parent I am is represented by the kind of school my child goes to, and the more sacrificing I'm making, if I can drain my 401k and mortgage the house, that somehow means I'm a better parent because I paid for more money for an education.
Yeah, so, you know, here's how my father approached it. He, you know, it's 1971 when my brother Jim went to college, and my father said, I'll pay for the tuition at Towson State University, or Towson State College is what it was called back then. That's what I'll pay for. Or if you want to go to the military, they'll pay for anywhere you want to go. Or if you want to, you know, get a scholarship somewhere, you know, you can go. But I'll pitch in the tuition. You know, well, we all went to Towson.
There you
and,
go.
And you know, my brother Jim became a lawyer and the president of Plymouth Rock Insurance Company in New Jersey. My brother Bill became a CPA and master's degree and a lawyer, and he became a senior vice president of the Federal Bank, Reserve Bank of Richmond. And then, you know, there's me. So, and then my sister went to a similar state school up in Pennsylvania where they moved to, and she got a master's degree in education and doing what she loves with special needs children and so forth. It didn't seem to hinder any of us in our opportunities in life more than if I went to Carnegie Mellon like Tom did, you know, or whatever.
I think the takeaway for a lot of parents is you don't have to freak out about this. There is the opportunity to chill out and remember that you're going to have options. There are different price points. Now, the more you've saved ahead of time, the more flexibility you have to make those choices when your child does go to school. So if you've got the resources, there's nothing wrong with buying the $50,000 car. It's being prepared and having conversations with the other decision makers in the household about what the expectations are from yourselves as parents and making sure your kids know what that is as well.
I've seen many a parent in my career who bankrupted their retirement.
Which is unfortunate.
But it happens quite often, and it wasn't necessary. And I don't necessarily know that they gave their child any greater opportunity. But it goes back to one of my foundations of all financial planning, and it's this. What you think about money will determine everything you'll do with and for money. You know, so the foundation of all financial planning isn't the money, and it isn't all these other things that we would think. It's really what's going on in your head. And what a lot of parents are thinking is that, you know, I didn't get the opportunity. And if my child can go to name the school, whatever, they're going to be better off and happier than I am or whatever. And a lot of times those are false messages going on.
Agreed. And we've spent a lot of time talking about, okay, what is the cost? How do I manage it from a purchasing standpoint? One of the things I'll often get asked is, okay, what about this savings? How much do I need to save? Mm-hmm. When should I start? Where should I put the money? So one of the things I looked at was how much it would take every month to save enough to pay the total cost at an average public school. So I hope all the listeners are sitting down for this number. It works out to about $450 a month from the time your child is born to save enough to cover the total cost. And by the way, total cost is not just tuition and fees, but while your child is there, they tend to need a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to eat. So the full cost would take $450 a month. Now, that said, there's flexibility with that.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't save that amount, certainly you can think of a down payment. So maybe you save $200, $250 a month. There are options when your child
you know, you
gets
keep
older.
Throwing numbers around like that, you'd be a great answer to birth control.
There are a lot of factors that go into
now,
the
who's
choices.
Who's going to have four children when you have to put up $450 a month like Stuart told me I had to? You
well,
know?
I recently met a guy who has five kids.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, and that's the challenge is, you know, I think, you know, as we talk about, there's different perspectives. And so one of the first things that, you know, we work with families on is trying to get the couple to talk to each other, assuming there's a husband and a wife, a father and a mother, talking about, you know, their views of it. And as Drew pointed out, is their views are going to influence their perspective. And even as I've seen over my career, you know, of about 30 years here, the difference between when I went to school, what it costs now to go to the same school, and what the incomes were when I came out of school versus what the incomes are now, the slope of those two lines are dramatically different. The higher education price index, the HEPI, has gone up at a much faster rate than the income rate increase has gone up. And so you can't just go to that same school, get the same job coming out, and all of a sudden be in the same position. So there's a lot of misunderstanding about that, and parents have lost that perspective. And sometimes their college funding comes out of guilt and some other things like Drew was pointing out earlier. So it's really important to create that dialogue. But what are some of the misconceptions that you've seen in some of the studies about, you know, either, you know, saving for college and the success of college or the likelihood to be successful in college and even after college.
Yeah, one of the big misconceptions that's out there is the effect of savings on financial aid. One of the things that fascinates me as a financial planner is I almost never have to convince somebody to save for a particular financial goal. People know I need to save for a down payment on a house, I need to save for my car, I need to save for my retirement, I need to save for the vacation. And then when we bring up college, it's the only one where people, whoa, I don't want to actually save for that one. And the misconception behind that comes from a misunderstanding of how financial aid works. People have in their heads that, one, every dollar they save means a dollar less in financial aid. That's not the case. And the second is when they use the phrase financial aid, in their head they're thinking free money. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to the federal financial aid formula, every dollar you save knocks off a nickel at most of what you might get in financial aid.
That's the parents' savings.
That's the parents' savings, yes. The second one is that when it comes to the financial aid, now I've completely lost my train of thought. I did one of those Rick Perry's where I gave the number before I got to the second one. So the understanding that people have to have is the effect on financial aid is pretty low. So what's important is to get started as soon as you can. A lot of people will say, well, I can't do it right now. I'm going to wait. Maybe it's an easier number later on. And the reality is the sooner you start, the less money
the
it
other,
takes.
The point you were going to make, because you said it to me earlier, was that what they end up, financial aid is debt.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. That's the other one. The financial aid is free money. And in reality, again, for most of the listeners we're talking to, financial aid is actually massive debt. So when you're thinking this through, when you're talking it through...
I'm not going to save so my child can be massively indebted for the rest of eternity.
Exactly. And that doesn't make sense. It makes sense if you say, I don't want to save because then my child will get more free money, but that's not necessarily what they're going to get. So yes, thank you for reminding me so that I didn't leave that hanging.
All right, hold on. Look, Anita's going to faint in here.
She's in shock.
Well, the guy on the other end of the line who does traffic, he's even more shocked right now. So, anyway, this is Money, Riches, and Wealth. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back with Money, Riches, and Wealth, and Anita's two for two.
She's awesome today.
I'll tell you, you know, but I don't count on three for three, though.
You've been hitting good breaks. Every time you hit a good break, she gives you a good song.
Anyway, we're here with Stuart Ritter of T. Rowe Price. And, you know, I like Pennsylvania because they don't let you choose any 529 plan in the country and you get a nice tax break. But the state of Maryland says if you want a tax break, you got to use T. Rowe Price's Maryland 529 plan. But I'm okay with that if that's what they say. You know, because your plan, actually, by Morningstar, was just rated as one of the top three out of all the plans available, and there are more than just 50 plans, even though there are 50 states. Some states have 2-3 plans, and they rated T. Rowe Price's Maryland 529 in the top three of plans. So,
well, thank you. There are actually two plans in the state of Maryland. We are involved. With one of them. But those tax breaks that you're talking about, that's what makes a 529 plan so valuable for parents and students. Let me explain why we're calling it a 529 plan. Mm-hmm. The description of the tax benefits is in IRS code section 529. So all of us planners creatively labeled it a 529 plan. And the way
it's like a 401k.
You've read the same tax code. There you go.
Go ahead.
So when you think about saving in a regular account, let me start there, regular taxable account. We've all just hopefully filed our taxes, and we know how this works. Any earnings you might get along the way of what you've saved in that account, they send you that 1099 form and say, hey, take some of those earnings and send it to the IRS in taxes. And then when you want to spend the money and take the money out, whatever gains you've had that you haven't already paid taxes on, generally speaking, you now send some of that to the IRS, and you get to spend what's left. The government has decided that saving for college is so hard, they're going to make a deal with you. They're going to say, if you save your money in a 529 plan, whatever earnings you have along the way, you don't pay taxes on it. As long as it stays in the account, you don't get a 1099 form, you don't give any of it up in taxes. And then when you withdraw the money from the account, and if you have some gain in there, you don't pay taxes on any of those gains if you use them for qualified educational expenses. And that tax description.
And qualified education expenses is actually a little broader than just college. So you can spend it on room and board. And, you know, it doesn't have to be room and board on campus. You can actually live off campus and use a general average of what it would cost to stay on campus. Still counts. You can use it for books, computers, mm-hmm. internet connections, things of that sort. So it's pretty broad of what you can use it for tax-free.
Yes, those qualified educational expenses for the college savings plans are the things you just described. The prepaid plan is limited just to tuition and fees. The big one is, if I'm paying less in taxes, that means I have more money for myself to pay for these college expenses.
Now, let me get into this, though, because mm-hmm. this is an important point, and that is that any 529 plan in the country that a Maryland resident uses is tax-free if used for college, and you can use it for any college in any state, even no matter what plan you're using. You could use the Alaska plan and go to Arkansas. I don't know why anybody from Alaska would go to Arkansas. They'd go maybe Florida, maybe, but yeah. Arkansas? But anyway, you could do that if mm-hmm. you wanted to. Mm-hmm. And if you're in the Maryland plan, you can go to California and still tax-free. But mm-hmm. if I use the Maryland 529 plan, I get something special.
Yes, you do.
From the Mike twins down in Maryland.
If you are a Maryland state resident and use that Maryland plan, one of the two that are available here, you get a tax benefit at the state level for the contribution that you make to the plan. So what I just described is federal legislation that says you don't pay taxes while the money's in the account. You don't pay taxes when you withdraw it if you use it for qualified educational expenses. In Maryland, if you use a Maryland plan and you're a Maryland resident, you get a benefit for the contribution that you make to the plan. When you fill out your tax forms, you get to subtract up to certain limits how much you contributed, and you don't end up paying taxes on that amount for the contribution.
And it's $2,500 per child per account holder.
That's correct.
So if I'm married and I have two children, I can set up one for Johnny and one for Joni. My wife can set up one for Johnny and one for Joni. So that's $2,500. I take $10,000 off my income tax return, which represents approximately, for the average Maryland resident, $800 of tax savings.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And mm-hmm. every bit counts. The issue is not, can I get the tax savings? It's where am I going to get the $8,000 to save?
But here's the sad part, Tom. Mm-hmm. And this is what we always get frustrated with.
Oh, yeah.
Is that, you know, we believe that if you're going to be a professional financial advisor, you should be a fiduciary.
Mm-hmm.
And if a fiduciary looks at this, any client that walks in our door
right.
in the state of Maryland, we say, there's only one choice, period.
Yep.
It's the cheapest plan. It's considered one of the best in the country.
Yep.
And you're going to get $2,500. Yep. But unfortunately, most people in this industry are not fiduciaries, and they can sell plans that they're going to get a commission on, and they can justify their action even though it doesn't make any sense. I had a client recently, mm-hmm. had a friend, did the Alaska plan because he got a commission on it, right? Mm-hmm. At least that's my opinion. I should say that's my opinion is why he did it. He got a commission on it.
Sure.
He had built up in it about $50,000, and I said, look, take it out of the Alaska plan, roll it into the Maryland plan. You're going to get the same tax deductions for the next 10 years for that plan by just rolling the money over into the plan, and you're going to have a cheaper plan, a better plan, and not paying commissions anymore. And when I explained it to him, his eyes lit up, and he said, you know, this is a good friend of mine, and I trust him, and I understand why he did what he did, but I'm going to tell him this is something logical for me to do.
Yep, yep. And from an investment perspective, I mean, you can't guarantee an 8% return. You know, and what you're talking about is that immediate gain, you get an 8% return effectively because of the tax savings.
Yeah.
So we call it a no-brainer in the business, you know, and it's kind of like your 401k when you're getting a match. You want to get that match. you know, here you want to get that tax deduction. And it is frustrating, Drew, because there are a lot of people that are selling these plans that are doing it. And it's, you know, people need to get paid. I understand that. But, you know, we're talking about being a fiduciary, doing what's best for the client, and we just can't see any other way around it. I mean, T. Rowe's done a great job of managing it. You know, the people that run the Maryland 529 plan have, you know, vetted them. And, you know, because it's not a T. Rowe plan. It's run by College, you know, Savings Plan of Maryland.
Right.
You know, T. Rowe is the hired advisor and manager of the funds. But they've done a great job. They've driven down the expenses. And you get a tax deduction. You know, it'd be great to get the deduction Pennsylvania has given them, because you're getting the full gifting up in Pennsylvania, so it's Pennsylvania listeners. But, you know, at least you're getting that $2,500, up to $2,500 a year.
But let me make one of my famous emphatic statements.
Mm-hmm.
Go home, look at your 529 plan. If it doesn't say T. Rowe Price, Maryland College Investment Plan, roll it over to Maryland. Roll it over to Maryland. Get rid of whatever fees you're paying, commissions you're paying.
Mm-hmm.
Get the rollover tax deduction, and you've got a slam dunk decision right
mm-hmm.
there.
Yep.
And Stuart's just sitting here saying, you guys go ahead and preach it, you know? Anyway, Anita, you ready? I'm ready if you're ready. You go ahead and take it away, traffic. We'll be right back. Money, Rich, and Wealth.
Do you have a financial planner? Have you ever thought of hiring one? Or just need a second opinion? The satisfaction guaranteed service of the Financial Physical is designed with you in mind. Many listeners, just like you, come to me, Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, looking for a firm that is fee-only and can offer comprehensive financial planning. The Financial Consulate has not grown by selling insurance, annuities, and bank products. Instead, we pride ourselves on the wealth of knowledge we can provide to you and your family. Learn more about the Financial Consulate and the services that we can provide at DrewTig.com. That's DrewTig.com. Or call to schedule a no-obligation introductory meeting at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Well, you know, I guess that's 2.5 yeah. out of 3.
Yep.
2.5.
It was good.
Well, you know.
Anita, I'd give you 2.75.
2.75. Yeah, it's still not 3 out of 3, though, you know. I tell you, I'd give you 2.875, but, you know. Anyway. We're back with Stuart Ritter. We're here. He's with T. Rowe Price, and he's an educator for them. And we're talking about. We could talk about many topics. You're a jack of all financial planning trade at T. Rowe Price, right?
I cover a bunch of them. Yes.
Yeah. So another big one of yours is retirement planning.
Absolutely.
And we're not going to do that tonight because then we would just confuse the issue. We're going to stick with. College planning.
All right.
You know, so here's a big question, you know, a couple of them. You know, what most people don't consider the GI Bill like I think they should. You know, I mean, it seems like, oh, my little Johnny, I'm never going to let him go into the military, you know? And I can understand that, you know, but I don't see anything wrong with it. I personally think that. You know, every single kid. If I was running for office every single 18 year, I wish they would have forced me to go to the military. I probably would have kicked some of that stupid stuff out of me long, long before I had to figure out I had to get rid of it myself. You know, the GI Bill, what do you think?
Well, I think there are lots of ways to pay for college. You're bringing up one now. We've been talking about a couple off the air of dance scholarships or working while you're in school. I mean, there are lots of ways to do it.
How about the two-year community college?
Mm-hmm. That's another one to, again, it goes back to my point earlier of there are lots of options. So I know parents, and I do the same thing. I've got three kids, can sometimes get a little overwhelmed that it's just going to be this big, giant number, and I can't do it. And a lot of people will freeze. And hopefully some of what you're getting from the conversation here is a little reassurance that I'm going to have options. My child's going to have options, that if I've saved money, that gives me more options, that I get tax breaks for using 529 plans, which will help with that savings. So there are lots of ways to address this that leads to the outcome that a lot of us want as parents, which is our kids getting a college degree and being able to help them do that in a way that we've decided as a family is an appropriate way for that to occur, whether it's paying for all of it ourselves, having them pay for all of it, some kind of trade-off, the things that they have to do for scholarships, the time they need to spend working, and really thinking through all those things. I will go back again, though, to the more money you have in an account with your name on it, the more options you have, the less reliant you are on a loan from either the government or a private lender or the school deciding whether or not to give you a scholarship mm-hmm. or what work-study program they might have. The sooner you get started saving, the more you can save, the more you can take advantage of the tax opportunities in 529 plans, the better you position both yourself and your child to then make whatever decision is before you when you get to that point.
What about, you know, you talk about when in mixed retirement and college for a second. Some people mortgage themselves for college. They take their retirement loans. You know, why is that not a good idea?
Yeah, the analogy I'm going to use is overused at this point, but I think I pioneered it, so I'm going with it. When you're on the plane, they tell you to put your own oxygen mask on first. Now, the reason they do that is because you've only got 18 seconds of usable consciousness before you're unable to make good decisions or manipulate things. Now, you'll be fine for a good 2 minutes. But if you take those 18 seconds and put the oxygen mask on your child and then don't get your mask on yourself, in the moment you feel like, well, I'm protecting my child. I'm doing the right thing for them. But in the long run, you've made a decision that has then created a catastrophe for your family. The same thing happens when it comes to the retirement versus college trade-off. That if you haven't saved for your own retirement, part of the reason we want to give a college education to our kids is that they have the financial freedom to do what they want. Well, if when they get to adulthood, we're suddenly knocking on the front door and saying, okay, I don't have any retirement savings, and now you have to take care of me. In the long run, we haven't done what's in the best interests of our child. So certainly make sure you've got retirement as the priority it should be, and equally as certainly, put college on that priority list where you as a family have decided it needs to be in terms of how you're taking your money and either spending it or saving it on the things you've decided are important.
You know, one of the interesting things about college that I found out was that colleges are all, you know, marketing to different people. And they want statistics for their college to show something that they're marketing. You know, maybe it's, you know, Christian children do extremely well here, and we want Christian parents to know that. And so they might want little Johnny, because he's a Christian child, and he has very good grades, and they think that he could move their averages up, and they'll offer him more money, because they know that these parents who will pay the full bill will pay the full bill because they see the numbers that Christian children at our school do really well. I mean, it's, you know, and that's just one of a million different analogies. My child plays the cello. Well, we like children that play the cello, and we want to show parents around the country that play the cello, that cello-playing children at our school are really good, and, you know, and so forth. Are you familiar with this?
Absolutely. Different schools give out different mixes of financial aid. Some focus more on need-based aid. Some focus more on non-need-based aid, merit aid. So one of the things you might want to consider as a parent is what kind of schools are giving out what kind of aid to kids like mine, which is what you're saying. And I would recommend not waiting until senior year when you've already gone on the tours and your child has already fallen in love with the school and you've already said you can go wherever you want to suddenly say, oh, wait a second, now we have to have a conversation. That conversation needs to start earlier. And I'm seeing that more with parents now. Folks are not waiting until, you know, even high school to start talking about the expectations about college and then doing some research to figure out what schools make sense, hopefully having started the saving. And it's never too late to save. I know when your child was first born, you had a couple other things on your mind other than college. So whatever age they're in, getting into the savings approach, figuring out how you're going to do that, and then recognizing, again, I've got a choice of colleges. Different colleges are going to offer different opportunities. Tom, you talked about that sometimes.
Yep.
And making sure that all of that gets baked into the conversation that you're having and the decision that you make.
But Stuart, let me ask you, and we only have a couple of minutes left. The what are some resources that people can use, you know, go to, whether it's a T. Rowe site or other sites that you know of, that can kind of help people break through some of these myths and do some planning and some things like that?
One of the great ones to start with is the website for the College Savings Plans of Maryland. So it's got a lot of information about saving for college generally, as well as the specifics about the plans we've been talking about. And certainly the T. Rowe Price site has information about there's a college calculator there, how much you might want to be saving, as well as what your options are, as well as a variety of other websites as well. The federal government has a lot available on what financial aid is, how it works, what affects it. What a lot of people don't realize is your income has a much bigger impact on what that federal financial aid formula does than what your savings are. So people get very focused on, well, if I do the savings, it's going to affect things. And the reality is most of it is generated from your income. So getting more information about those things from those kinds of resources often helps bring the anxiety down. People are more inclined to take action, save, save more. It puts them in a better position.
So just we only have 1 minute left. I want to reemphasize the concept that you got to go home. Whoever's listening out there, if you've got a 529 plan for your children, you got to go home and look at your 529 plan. If it doesn't say T. Rowe Price State of Maryland College Savings Plan, you need to roll it over. You need to call Stewart and T. Rowe Price and roll it over to the Maryland College Savings Plan. Period. End of the story. I'll give you an example. Let's say you have two children, $10,000 in a Virginia plan or an Alaska plan or whatever darn plan in the country that somebody's making a commission off of you, and you roll it over to the T. Rowe Price plan. The state of Maryland is going to pay you $1,600 for doing that over the next 8 years. That's a no-brainer. And it's a better plan, according to Morningstar. And it's low cost, no commissions being paid. It's a slam dunk. What do you think, Stuart? Do you have an opinion? We only have 3 seconds for you to say yes or no.
I allow you as the host to stand with what you said.
Absolutely. He only could say yes or no.
I think that was a yes.
I think that was a yes. Anyway, we're finished, and we thank you, Stuart, for your time here. You were excellent guest, and this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.